Lord, we worship you tonight for a great grace that's upon every one of us. We have found your love, and your spirit fills us, and we learn to live with you and each other. Bless this message tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, wait a minute before you sit down. We learn to live with you, God, and with each other. So how's it going with each other? Right. All right. So, okay, we learn to live with God and then with each other. So do you love each other? Do you love your neighbor? Yeah, do you love the people around you? Then go ahead. You can greet each other with a holy kiss. Okay, go ahead. Okay, you may be seated. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to thank the body for the ministry that so many people have while we were out of the country, and how the Spirit of God is teaching us and leading us to serve and to be submitted one to another, to love each other. If you have two people here, there's a little sketch for us, and they're married. We've got to make one a female. Yeah. Okay, so they're married, and they have a hard time. They're having a hard time with each other, okay? Because they're not spiritual. They don't know about God and His love, and how hard it is when you have two people that are, you know, I buy you chocolate, you know, you make me my favorite food, and all of those things that are on the surface of life cannot compare to what it means when a man leaves his mother and father and is joined unto his wife, and they cleave, they are joined to each other, and this word is cleave. It's used with the church in Acts 11:23. Maybe we could throw that verse up there. Acts 11:23, I believe it is 23. It could be 22. I think it's 23. Okay. Oh, yeah, we have a steadfast purpose. We have King James. King James, because it uses the same word as in Matthew 19:5, when a man is cleaving to his wife. Do we have King James? Yeah, there it is. Who, when he came and God, and he had seen the grace of God. This is the leaders from Jerusalem when they came to Antioch. I could draw a map for you, but we won't do that. But they went from Jerusalem. They went up to Antioch, and when they saw the grace of God, they saw the grace of God. Can you see the grace of God? We did in Budapest. We saw the grace of God on an assembly of believers, and we don't take any credit for it. We don't take any credit. We're not talking about us in that sense. We're talking about how God has ordained for believers to be cleaving to each other, to be cleaving to the purpose of God. Look at this sentence. When he came and seen the grace of God, was glad. We could make a little outline of that verse here. They saw the grace. Now, grace is on you. Grace is here. We are children of grace. We are blessed by grace. We are indwelt by God's grace. We are objects of his grace. He is not holding you under the law, but under grace. He is loving you unconditionally. He has saved you, justified you. You are standing in the grace of God. This is a fellowship of grace. When they saw the grace, they saw the spirit of grace. They saw the liberty. They saw the spirit filling those people in the church. Now, these are not Jews. They're not Jews. They are in an ancient city called Antioch up in Syria. And they are Gentiles. They are pagans. They worship Zeus and Diana and other pagan gods, but they've been born again. And when the disciples, they saw it, they saw the grace of God, that they were saved. They discerned. So that's another word for what happened. They discerned. They saw it. So that's just, you know, one part here, okay? So they were glad. They saw the grace of God. They were glad and exhorted them all. And what did he say to them? What did they preach to them? What was the exhortation? What's the meaning of exhortation? It's a kind of encouragement. It's not a rah-rah exhortation. You can say, like a coach would give a pep talk at halftime. That's like rah-rah speech. But this is a spiritual exhortation to them. And the apostles are saying to them, God is with you. God has done this. The Spirit of God is in the room. You are being encouraged by God. And that you with purpose of heart, purpose of heart. This is the same word for in Ephesians 3:11 for eternal purpose. It means intention. It means that you have a direction. It means that you have a purpose. You found God. God found you. God is with you. You would cleave to it. How's it go? Purpose of heart, they would cleave. So there you have, you purpose in your heart. This is just helping you to, this is slowing down the verse a little bit. Purpose of heart, you would cleave. And this, again, the same when Adam and Eve were one, they cleaved to each other. They were joined, they were one flesh. In that case, that's marriage. Body life is not marriage. Marriage is marriage, but the same word for us being joined unto the Lord with the same purpose of heart. We're deeply encouraged. We're listening. We're believing. We are one, as Pastor Shabelli said. That manifestation of God is in oneness. Now, I want to get real practical with it because I want to talk about this word submission, and it's a good lesson for us. No, my handwriting is horrible, but that's okay. Well, now, I want to go backwards a little bit, tell the history with regards to Hungary, because this is interesting. We moved to Finland in 1975. We started going to the Soviet Union in 1976. Through the 1970s and also the 80s, we were, with many of us in Finland and here in Baltimore, we were praying, if the Soviet Union ever collapses, we're going to go. If the Soviet Union ever collapses, let's go. And I know Bob Carrick was in the group. A bunch of you folks were in the group praying and wondering what would happen to the Soviet Union. It seemed impossible. It never collapsed. Well, anyway, long story short, we were taking trips into Poland. We started in 1984 in Poland. We were going to Kaliningrad. Things were starting to move, 1989. We were in a Dunkin' Donuts here the fall of 1989 with Pastor Mati and a few other brothers. And And this German, East German buses were leaving Hungary to go to Austria. So it meant, in effect, the Hungarians are not stopping East Germans from leaving the Iron Curtain. So the Iron Curtain is collapsing. We saw it on the news. My wife and I, while living in Bel Air, Maryland, we saw it on the news, and I just said, "Lee, we got to go." And that was all. That was the end of the conversation. Like, she just was she understood. And so in 1990, a team formed. This was Pastor Mati, Ula down here, and others. A group of people moved to Budapest. And then in the summer, myself and my family moved to Budapest. There was nothing there. There was nothing there. But I want to say to the young people that you need to have vision in your life. You can have vision in your life. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're white and ready for harvest. You wanna get trained. You wanna live a life of faith. You wanna see something happen. It can happen. God honors the gospel. Preach the gospel. Go somewhere and preach the gospel. And what will happen, you have no idea. So I think I was 39 years old at that time. And I said to Dr. Stevens, I was thinking about it, and I said, I think I'm got to go to Hungary, leave here. I was teaching here in the Bible school. I was the head of the missions department. We had a beautiful church going on, but it was in my heart. Let's go. My wife and I, let's go for 1 year. 1 year, let's go. Honestly, I promise. I swear on the Bible. 1 year. No, it wasn't like that, but a little bit. Like, let's go. So we took our young kids, 9 years old, 12 and 13 years of age, and just packed up and moved to Hungary, and we had a great team and beautiful story. But I say this, when I talked to Pastor Stevens about it, he wasn't so excited about it, but he let me decide for myself what's God's leading. But this is one thing I thought to myself. If I lived to be 70 years old, I would regret that I didn't do it. I'm 72. I don't regret it because we did it. And that doesn't mean me, honestly. There were an amazing number of people who went to Hungary. I mean, we have more than 300 people through 10 years' time that were coming and being part of the team. And they added tremendously. And we had 500 people in the church. We had a Bible school of 180 people. We went to 24 Soviet cities in 10 years' time and started churches. That was, and not just, not us alone, but Greater Grace. And people from Greater Grace. And it was amazing. Siberia, St. Petersburg, Moscow, Uzbekistan, in Samarkand, in Kyrgyzstan, in Bishkek, and on it goes. It's beautiful. These people that came from different parts of the world came because they have a sense of faith. They have a sense in their church. They have a sense of faith, like we do here tonight. We have a sense of God's will. With purpose of heart, we cleave to the Lord, that we want the Lord in our relationships. We want the Lord in our marriage. We want the Lord in with our children. We want the Lord in our friendships. We want the Lord in our churches and with the church, the different churches. So that's what I want to say. A vision, and then this word, submission. I'll give you a chance to talk for a minute. In a minute. Turn to Ephesians 5, in verse 21. I think this hupotasso, this being under in the military, being submitted. It's a military term. Being submitted, being under the authority, being submitted one to another in verse 21. Did I say that? Ephesians 5 and verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. We are independent people, Americans, in our ideology. We have an ideological idea about being independent, though we aren't really. We're very dependent on many things, very dependent on the system that we live in, very dependent on the government in many ways, very dependent people. We're very dependent, but the ideology is, I am a self-made man, I am independent, I don't need you, I can do it on my own, I can survive on my own, I can do it on my own. When you are spirit-filled, that changes. And you look to see who you can be submitted to. You look to be submitted to God and not to be on your own. That submission is a big part of what we saw at Uricon. When churches are submitted one to another, when a pastor is submitted to another pastor. So let's make a short list here. We are submitted to each other. Hebrews 13, 17. Can we put that up on the screen? I'm going to have to okay, beautiful. Obey them that have the rule over you. Who has the rule over me? Nobody has the rule over me. Yeah, God wants you to have somebody rule over you. And the word rule is exactly that. It is to reign. I don't want anybody reigning over me. That's Luke 19, 14. We'll not have this man reign over us. Why? Because we don't like the authority. We have a problem with submission because we have inside some rebellion because in our flesh we're not going to be submitted to anybody, including God. We have God in our pocket, but not God over us and reigning over us. That's the way we live. But I want to help you because your life has a lot to do with submission. It does. It's an amazing blessing. Like submission is a great blessing for us. And by the way, in marriage, there's two stereotypes in marriage with men and women. This is the idea. Women are, I got to draw the woman, the female version of a human being. Woman is, this is a stereotype that's not right. It's not right, but this is how it goes. A woman is nagging. A woman is unhappy. A woman is complaining to the man. A woman is overpowering. A woman is domineering. A woman wants to take charge. A woman this and that. Okay, let's go to the guy now. What's the stereotype? The guy is chauvinistic. The guy abuses women. The guy is reigning over. The guy is unkind. He's too hard. He's too direct. He's too tough. The man is like a brute, and he's ruling. Or he is passive, that he has nothing to say. He's indifferent, and so on. So there are stereotypes. Men that are wrong, they are true and accurate, but they can be wrong. And then there are stereotypes of women that are also wrong. And so you know that. Do you know what? My marriage, we don't have either of those. How about your marriage? What do you have? You have what's called submission. This is different. This is when you are submitted to God and the Holy Spirit fills you and you are thankful. You are at peace. I'll put down a few words here. You are thankful. You know, it's hard to argue with a guy that's thankful. It's hard to argue with a woman that is thankful. She is thankful. She is thankful. She is thankful for so many things. She is thankful. And it's hard to argue with her because she's so appreciative and so thankful. And then the man, he's just so thankful. The first thing he says to his wife is, I'm just so thankful for what we have. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for what you do for me. I'm just thankful to you. I mean, I'm thankful to God. But this Spirit of God that is in you allows you to be submitted one to another. That's the spirit of oneness. And by the way, it's not only in a family, like in a marriage, but it's with pastors. Pastors that are submitted one to another. And us to be submitted to the leader. Let's go to Hebrews 13. So, that you have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must have give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, and that is unprofitable for you. In other words, somebody cares about you. That's who I'm submitted to. That somebody cares about me. That they do. They care about me in their heart. It's easy to be submitted to somebody that is caring about you. And that's what's in you. There's another submission. It's 1 Peter 2:13. It's submitted to the laws of the country. The laws of the country, like we could say, rules, traffic laws, ordinances. We could talk about taxes. You are to be submitted to the authority that is over you in the legal sense. That's what it says. Another submission is submitted to the elder, 1 Peter 5:5, like the older gentleman. The older man with respect, to honor him, to have submission. When you walk into a room, you don't walk into a room rebelliously looking for what you could destroy. You don't walk into a room to tear people down. You don't walk into a room to look like what's wrong with it and why didn't somebody do this or that. You walk into a room like understanding that you are submitted to God. We are submitted one to another, and how can I serve? This is 1 Corinthians 16:16. Let's put that up on the screen, and we're going to finish here. 1 Corinthians 16:16. That you submit yourself, let's do 15. These are Paul's workers. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. So this is a family. This is a family. And what does Paul say to the Corinthians about this family? He said, verse 16, that you submit yourselves to them and to everyone that helps with us and labors. My team. He's saying, you should be submitted to Paul's team of people. Be submitted to them. What happens in that submission? We find God. This is Matthew 18, another verse up on the screen, please. Matthew 18:20. Where two or more are gathered in my name, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Wow. When there is unity, Psalm 133, there God has commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Now it's tough. Let me say this. When we start fighting with each other, it's tough, hard. When you start fighting, when we start fighting with each other. Marriage, start fighting. Your family with your kids, start fighting. Friends, start fighting. Church starts fighting. Churches start fighting with each other. It's horrible. It's horrible. And people who get offended over little things, the 1 Corinthians 13 love says love is not easily offended. There is not love. So there must be the humility before God. He gives grace to the humble, and you will find love in your heart, and you will love. You will love. Now, this is how some people think. They go into a group like that where there is love and grace and joy and peace. And they say, where did all these people come from? I wish these people were in my church. If these people were in my church, we would have a great church. Well, here, Pastor, listen. Pastor, go teach your people to humble themselves under the hand of God and get grace, greater grace, and love and serve each other. And you'll have those, for those people are the same sinful people that are in your church. And that you are to teach them and lead them and guide them in humility and be submitted one to another. That's how it happens. And that's our prayer, that this would go on and on and on as Jesus promised. All right, so that was my, so we had a couple of points and we'll finish. We had COVID. We canceled EuroCon day before, 2 days before. People already flew in, but because of COVID, we just felt like canceling and we did. But they cleave. They cleave. Years go by. They cleave. We remember. Remember, it's a real thing. Remember my friend. Remember my sister, my brother. Remember what God is doing in that place. And I'm saying this to say, it's in the year 2024. Many years have passed, and the same people from 40 years ago and 45 years ago, in some cases, 45 years, they're the same people. Because there's nothing like this fellowship of love where Jesus is between us. And some of you are on the beginning road of your walk with God, and some of us older folks can say, there's nothing better in all the world to be in the presence of Christ in the midst of his people. Whether it's over there or it's right here, there's nothing better than body life. Nothing better than having oneness with each other. What about in a marriage? What about the chocolate and your favorite meal? And I bought a dress for you and we're going to go on a vacation here and I love you and so on. Okay, that's all fine. Those are nice little things to do for each other if you can afford them. What if you can't afford them? What if you got to go deeper? You got to look at each other and just think, are we one? Are we together? Do we have fellowship? Is Jesus between us? And if he isn't, let's make the effort to believe that if we gather in his name, that Jesus will be between us and that there'll be some kind of depth that happens in time, in God's grace, in God's way. How about two pastors that don't talk to each other? But this is a thing that's funny. I'm going on now here a little bit. There's two pastors, they don't talk to each other, but they definitely want, they want to go to the leader. They want to go to the leader. And the leader has to say to them, do you talk to your brother? Do you love each other? I know you say you love me, but do you love each other? Do you forgive each other? Are you serving each other? Can you be submitted one to another? It doesn't work like this. Leave your gift at the altar and go get reconciled to your brother. And do you love your brother? Can you be submitted to your brother? Do you love and pray and encourage your brother and so on? As you know what we're saying, Jesus is saying, sinful people that have found me and gather in my name will be submitted one to another. And in a marriage, when they are submitted to each other, it'll bring the best out of the woman, and the woman will bring the best out of the man. And the woman will say to the woman, how did you get such a great husband? And she said, God helped me encourage him, and gave me grace, and I ended up having this great guy. And the great guy, you had asked the great guy, and he could say, my wife helps me a lot. She doesn't nag me. She loves me. She's submitted to me. She prays for me. She loves me. She encourages me. She's quiet around me. She's supportive of me. She just loves me. And the same the woman could say about the man. It can happen. It does happen. It is our fellowship. It's in the marriage like that, and then in our friendships also. And in Uricon, it was so much fun to be in that big room with all the talking and all the hugging and all the quietness and all of the holiness and the peace that was there. And I'm making a big deal out of it because it does mean a lot to me, and because it is God in the presence of his people. And it is here. We have it by God's grace, of course. And we'll have our convention in June, and we'll be participating in that fellowship in June and so on. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, leading up to the Uricon, I had some anxiety in my heart about many different things leading up. But then you had people praying, and we were praying, and when we landed and we assembled, the flow of your word, the heart of your spirit in us, the fellowship of the saints surpassed the human elements of life. And we fed at that altar, and we were built up in it. And I just praise you. We praise you for what you have done in Eastern Europe and in other parts of the world, and what you are doing amongst us here. And just to say to anyone listening, in your heart, your walk with God has great value. Your humility has great value. Your learning of his words has great value. And to trust him in your life and give him your life and trust him has incredible value. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name. And then anyone listening, you've not yet to come to Christ, come tonight. Come as you are. Come and say, I believe in you. Come into my heart. Save me by faith. And you're saved by his grace. Instantly, by his grace, you're a child of God. It happens in a moment by believing in him in your heart and saying yes to Jesus. And then help your friends find Jesus. Help your family members find Jesus. Life is short. It's over in a little while. And everything that we have done on this earth in his name is not in vain. Everything that we are doing and sharing our faith is not in vain. Lord, bless our spring, our summer, with your guidance. And lead us in our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.